the police precinct here in Brooklyn, where Mr. McMahon has been brought. He is now being processed. Possible charges include resisting arrest and assaulting an officer. I can also confirm that Stephanie McMahon has arrived here on the scene alongside with her high power attorney, Jerry McDevitt. I can assume that they'll be looking to post bail as soon as that becomes available.
Believe these characters? Way out of line, way out of line. Have a good mind to go to the warden about this. You know what hurts the most is the lack of respect. You know? That's what hurts the most. Except for the other thing. That hurts the most, but the lack of respect hurts the second most.
I got a jail for less than you.
Jail's no fun, I tell you that much.
Where you been?
Once. In Monopoly.
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
It's a sparkle kid.
How are you people? Today is Wednesday, March 9th, 2016. I'm your host, Pat McNeil, bringing you today's installment of the longest-running weekday episodic pro wrestling podcast in the world. This is the PW Torch Livecast, your Wednesday intro song, Sport for Kings by Kids on Bridges. The official artist of the PW Torch Livecast, available on iTunes and probably Spotify for all I know. We're coming at you today with 60-plus minutes of wrestling and fun, and if you're not careful, you just might learn something before we're done. We are taking your calls 646-721-9828 right here on Blog Talk Radio. We're taking your emails, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. The chat room is open at pwtorchlivecast.com. And you can even send your Twitter questions to me at RealPatMcNeil. We have them for you. But right now, let's get on with the program and introduce today's guest.
Introduce our guest star. That's what it's time to do. So it really makes me happy to introduce to you.
Ladies and gentlemen, legendary World Championship Wrestling superstar and guest booker, the one, the only, Disco Inferno. And they said this is a retro week just because you're on, Disco. You know?
I always love being on this because, like, the randomness of your sound bites at the beginning of the show always intrigues me. I mean, you must love producing this. I mean, are those all, do you choose all that?
Yes, I do.
Tremendous selections, because the Blues Brothers quote is one of my favorite quotes in movie history.
Well, good. I just think that's a good way to lead off the show. It is great to have you back on, Disco. You've been very busy as usual. We're coming up on WrestleMania, and I thought the masses could use the insight of Disco Inferno as we look at how WrestleMania is being put together. And a lot of people have other questions for you about your career and life. And as a matter of fact, thanks to a shout-out from Johnny Fairplay last week, we just have a ton of questions for you for whatever reason via email. So everybody chime in, 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com, the other way to get questions in. I've got to ask you first, have you been following the run-up to WrestleMania and the big and obviously the big highlight of the show this year, The Undertaker against Shane McMahon in Hell in a Cell?
Yes, I have it. I follow it. I think I told you this in the past, but the way I watch wrestling these days is because we're on the West Coast, we get the shows already airs. Very difficult to surf social media if you want to be, well, between 5 and 8 Pacific time out here. If you want to watch Raw, because you can't even do it because, you know, it's like spoilers pop up left and right. So what I do is I read Jason Powell's review as the show is going on. And if it reads well, I will either DVR the show, or I'll just stay home and watch it. But usually I can DVR and fast forward to the spots I want to see. When I used to go to movies, if Roger Ebert didn't give the movie a thumbs up, I wouldn't see it. If Jason Powell doesn't give a good review, I'm probably not going to watch the show.
Okay. I watch it this week
because I stayed home and I actually watched its entirety from start to finish.
Yeah, better than average episode of Raw, definitely. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
No, I understand that, but unfortunately, I don't get to do that.
Right. Yeah. You got to watch it live. Plus, you tweet a lot during the show on Facebook and stuff and everything, and that kind of ruins. Yeah, I don't want to say it ruins it for me, but you should post like a big bold letter spoiler alert before you ever tweet about Raw and stuff. I don't know. That's just
okay. Well. Yeah, okay. Most people figure out that I start tweeting Raw at like 8 Eastern and get done. Well,
I should hide you from my timeline during those times.
That's probably you probably should do that and wait till you're watching the show and then bring it back.
Right.
I think that'll work. Okay, so Disco, what big projects are you involved in the month of March here in 2016?
My club is very busy for March Madness.
That's true.
And we were packed last weekend because we hosted the Misha Tate after party, and that was a roll of the dice.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because she was a 3-1 underdog, and she won. So it was just a mob scene at our club last week. And, got some great photo ops with her and everything. And she's a big fan. Our marketing director and her are good friends. During the summer, we have a day club at our a day club, so like a pool, like the day pools. She'll host a couple times during the year for that. She'll host if there's a UFC fight and she's not on the card, she'll like probably 50% of the time she'll come in and host in the room. You know, when we show the fight, she'll come host in the room and stuff. She's a big fan of the club, and it's one of her favorite places to go out in Vegas, actually.
Okay. So it's a good possibility if you're there on a UFC weekend where Misha's not fighting, you might run into her.
Well, she'll be advertised. You can always look at our website, SapphireLV.com, or SapphireLV.com, and it'll post when she's going to appear. She'll appear, but between now and her next fight, she'll do 3 or 4 appearances at the club for sure.
Okay, that sounds great. We are going to dive right in with calls now. For those of you who are listening for the first time, and I guess we always have some, you can keep things moving. You can ask up to 3 questions. You can make up to 3 comments. You can combine them like 1 question and 2 comments. But at the end of the day,
3, that's a magic number.
And Disco knows how to keep this PG, but for the rest of you, when you call
While we're waiting for our next caller, we'd like to remind you folks calling in to, keep your questions within the boundaries of good taste.
Yeah, it's been a rough month, Disco. Bill Barron swore last week on the show, and James had edited it out.
Bill Barron swore? Wow.
Yes.
That's hot news.
It's crazy, yeah. It's a crazy month. Yeah. All right, we're going to get this going. We're going to kick things off in the 727 area code. 727, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Disco Inferno.
Hey, guys, it's Clarence. I'm calling from Tampa, Florida.
How you doing, Clarence?
Hey, what's up?
I'm hanging in there, partner. I'm hanging in there. Good to talk to the U.S. champ. Good to talk to the champ.
Oh, uh-huh. I was never the U.S. champ. I was the TV champ, by the way.
Just yeah,
same thing. I always thought Disco was a mark for his own gimmick, guys. But let's dive into this. I was in Vegas a few years back, and
okay.
I was in this club, and Disco is at the door. Honest to God, true story. The only thing that shocked me is I was at a car dealership probably about 5 years ago, and the genius tried to sell me an old pickup truck. But, guys, this was even more shocking. We're in the strip club. He comes up, and I know this guy from somewhere. And you know when you see somebody and you know him? And I said, you're Disco Inferno. I'm sure he gets that all the time in the club. I'm not sure if you guys mentioned the club or if I'm allowed to give it out. But
absolutely.
And it was him. Nicest guy in the world. I mean, I've seen these, being in Tampa, these wrestlers are on every street corner.
Yeah.
The Bushwhackers, they valeted my car probably about 3 weeks ago at a restaurant. But so you see these guys all over in Tampa, but out in Vegas, there he was. He takes us over to our seats. He was real nice. Obviously, he's used to getting that. We didn't want to put it out there too much. And he says, do you see anything in here you like? And that night there was some NFL guys in there, some big-time ball players, and they were taking the majority of the girls, and I said, Disco, I'm not seeing anything. There's nothing here my caliber. So he brought over a book, and it was full of hairless, twink, 17-year-old Chinese boys, and he says, would you like me to order you one of these?
Okay.
I can get you, we can get you.
That's
thank you. Thank you for calling in, Clarence. That was a great setup. Thank you.
It was a great – actually, that setup was phenomenal. He was like, because
I
was legit.
That.
He He sounded legit.
Well, I was curious. Well, when he talked about what a nice guy you are, the flag went out. But other than that,
I got to give the guy credit. That was a good riff. That was a good riff. I got to give the guy credit on that one.
Okay, well, there you go. All right, so hey, why don't we dive into some nice email questions here? Let's see what we have. This one is from you can call in, people. Just be civilized. Okay, this one is from Tom. Tom, I don't have where he's from. He says, last month you posted a picture with CM Punk's opponent Mickey Gall. How did you meet him?
He came in the club after the fight, and it was funny because I was tweeting friends. I don't think we showed that. Maybe we showed that show at the UFC. What card was that, by the way? Do you remember what the main event on that one was?
No, unfortunately, I remember things like, you know.
He comes in the club, and he's a young kid from Jersey. And he's with a group of, like, it looked like high school friends. Like, girls, guys, they look very young crowd. They're all, like, you know, barely over 21. And he just, you know, came by, and I didn't know who he was because I didn't see the fight. And they say, this is the guy that fought CM Punk here. And I go, oh, really? Let me go meet the guy. So I brought him in, and, you know, nice guy. Took a pic with him and stuff and everything. And just a nice kid. And that was the problem. Here's the thing. I was very surprised at how small he was. Okay, because I know I wrestled with Punk before. And I guess Punk's obviously cutting weight, you know, for the UFC. But I was like, wow. I was thinking, Punk's a lot bigger than this guy. I go, he's going to be fighting. But, like, you know, maybe with the weight cut, like, there's a difference, but the kid weighed, he was fighting at 185, but he didn't look a bit like 185 at all. I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know, from being around Punk and knowing Punk, Punk seemed a lot bigger than him from the last time I saw Punk. So, but the kid was a super nice kid.
Okay. That's a good, there you go, good story. All right, let's take one from the Twitter. Okay, that was way too loud. The A-Rai Movement has a question. It says, Disco, what type of tips do you normally leave when you're out of the restaurant? Is it 15 to 20%, more or less?
Always 20 and 25 for good service. And if the service is terrible, like if the service is just atrocious, like painfully bad, or if I have to ask for water three times and before they bring it to the table, I'll leave
10%. Yeah, you tell people not to
go there. And I leave 25% if it's good.
Right. Okay. People need to know these things. All right. Let's get back to more. Let's get back to the email. Let's see here. Yeah. What are your thoughts on TNA seeking out investors?
Well, it sounds like they need them, huh?
They do.
Yeah.
They need money, right?
Well, it's 2016. Pretty much we all need money. You know?
Everybody's seeking investors these days. I mean, even people that are. The billionaires are seeking investors. So what's, you know, I mean, to me, that's really not that much of a big deal. I bet you, well, and, you know, let's not forget that Vince McMahon, they went public. So
that's true. They got investors.
They were looking for investors too. So, you know, so no big deal. But I know that they just don't really have a lot of money right now. You know, it is what it is.
They were getting paid to produce TV shows in America, and now they're not so much.
Right.
Have you been watching Impact the past couple of months?
Some of it, when I can catch it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, like, if I'm home, it's on. I just always, you know, the thing, like it's on Pop TV, so I just never ever watch Pop TV unless TNA is on.
Yeah.
So, like, well, you know, you just don't catch that channel. So, like, maybe me, like a lot of other people, I'll happen to be home, I'll happen to be on the internet, and I'll see the tweets, hey, Impact on Pop is on there. I forgot it was on, let me put it on. You know, so I'll watch it. But, like, as a regular creature, I haven't watched the show, absolutely not.
Okay. But, I mean, have you seen anything that you like? I was one more like, have you seen anything you like, dislike? You know, I mean, it's pretty much focused around the few.
I'll tell you this.
Okay.
I am so impressed. Okay, with the work of Bobby Roode, I think right now, I don't think there's a better worker in professional wrestling today than Bobby Roode, top to bottom. I mean, there's no holes in his work. He looks legit. He looks like a tough guy. He throws good punches. He is just, I'm just super impressed when I watch him wrestle. I mean, I'm like, wow, this guy's just, he just seems to me, and I'm a very critical eye, you know, because I help teach it. You know, I teach a wrestling school here. Just, I'm like, well, I tell these guys, I tell the kids, I go, but well, watch Bobby Roode's work these days because he's phenomenal. I was like, wow, he really improved just so much. I mean, my opinion, I personally think that he's the best worker in the business right now.
Yeah, well, unfortunately, he's not going to get as much credit as you'd like to think, especially when you hit the year-end awards, you know, people both from people not watching TNA.
Right, exactly. But if you just watch his work, it's just, well, it's really, like you watch, like here's the way I judge guys these days. And this is, because this is one thing that I do, and I teach my class, it's very specific. Okay, it's called Future Stars of Wrestling, FSW Vegas. They have a school, myself, Manic, you know, T.J. Perkins, Kenny King, Alcatraz, and like Jack Danley and Remy Marcello, some of the teachers there. I teach a specific class on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock. All I teach is kicking, punching, and selling. Because when I watch guys these days, I'm judging guys by how good of a punch they throw and how good their kicks look. Because that there's so many holes in that in people's work these days where those little details are such a lost art that if a guy throws a really good punch, he really sticks out on the show. Like, he looks tougher than the other guys. You know, like guys that throw bad, like the high flyers, you know, you do all this stuff, but if you throw a weak-looking punch, it's hard to hide from the fans.
Yeah.
Like, the fans can see that, you know, but if you throw a good one, well, they're still, you know, how old are you, Pat?
Very old, 45.
Okay, well, I'm 48. But we grew up watching wrestling
like
in the 80s. You know, so we watched guys, we're wrestling matches, a lot of times were just two guys out there punching and kicking and fighting each other. And these were main events that they drew a lot of money. You don't see that anymore. So I'm still a fan of that, like that old school skill. And I'm sure maybe you probably are too. I don't know if you are, if you like the new stuff, but a good old fashioned, you know, Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, you know, fight for the Mid-South Coliseum type match. I still like that. You know, to me that was it. So Bobby Roode's work, you know, just he just looks legit out there. I'm like, they're very impressed.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and that's something we talk about, you know, kind of often on this show. You know, if you got two guys who are really pissed off at each other and they're going to fight, you know, they don't walk in the ring, and you don't walk in the ring with somebody you're really pissed off at and whip them into the ropes and go for a Rana, you know?
Or when it's time for, when they're beating you down, when it's time for your comeback, throw legal forearms.
That's true.
You're gonna fight. And it's like, just a lot of these guys these days, these kids are in their mid-20s that work. Mid-20s, low 30s, they didn't grow up with what we used to watch. And it's like their style doesn't really emulate that. And I'm like, and I teach my guys, I'm like, bro, we're going to learn this old school style because you will stick out on the show because so many people don't do this well. I go, you'll look like a better worker than other people just because you can do this effectively. And that's why I think the punching and kicking and making it look like you can hurt a guy and beat a guy up is so important.
Yeah, and if you can sell, other guys will want to work with you.
Well, absolutely. Selling the simple stuff is so much easier than. Well, like I said, I've been on this rant these days. You know, when I do these podcasts and stuff, I tweet that basically there's a lack of common sense in the work these days. You know, like working is supposed to be, you know, when we grew up watching wrestling and if you grew up watching wrestling, the guys in the business were tough guys before they got into wrestling, and they came into wrestling and they taught them how to work, okay? But they were legit tough guys to start off with. It's like these days, the wrestlers are not really tough guys, okay? They're kind of like, you know, they're acrobats or high flyers. For example, in my class, I'm like, I'm trying to teach a kid how to punch. Like, what was the last time you've been to fight? He's like, I've never been to fight. I'm like, oh, my God. But there's a lot of people like that in the business these days. There's a lot of people, a lot of kids like that, you know? So basically, you know, when they're laying out these matches now, because like there's such an emphasis on acrobatics, you know, and like forearms, you know, they're throwing forearms, but there's so much injury risk when you're doing acrobatics, when you're doing high flying, when you're hitting guys in the head constantly, but trying to work it. I just watched that the other day. The two chicks from NXT, the Japanese girl, you know, she's,
yeah.
This is, these are green workers. You know, they're not like seasoned veterans. And she's doing the kicks to the head, and she kicked the girl in the head and knocked her silly. Now the girl's got a concussion. She's out for a while. You know, so I'm like, damn, how much better would it have been to teach that girl a good working punch where you're not going to concuss the other girl? You know, instead of look realistic if the girl can sell it, you know? It's like, we're teaching.
Well,
there's no work anymore these days. It's too real. And then the realness is almost fake because it's stuff that you don't even really do in a fight. You know, so it's like, it's, I don't know. It's just that's the rant these days. I wish we would invigorate more old school skills into the work as opposed to keep raising the bar with all the high flying acrobatics.
We grew up in the Wild West, Disco. We actually had fights in the schoolyard and stuff. All right, the adventure continues. We're gonna go to the telephone to the 773 area code. 773. Please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with Disco Inferno. Hello, Boris.
Boris from Chicago. How you doing, Dis?
Hey, pretty good. How's it going on?
Before I get to my question, I couldn't help but laugh because I was thinking when we was growing up watching wrestle, we fake punched and kicked better than they do in the ring now. You know how we imitated the chops and the slaps on each other. We did it fakingly.
Me and my friend, when we were 17 years old or 16 years old, fake wrestling in the front yard, our punches and kicks are better than the guys on the show today.
That's why I started laughing.
Yeah.
It probably worked on them longer.
But it's true. It's true. They're like, bro, guys don't even practice that stuff. And it's like a very important skill because a lot of guys that made a lot of money did that very well. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I mean, I don't know. So we'll keep going with the question.
Yeah, go on, boss.
My first question is, what do you think about Dean Ambrose and Shane McMahon? Whatever punches or the format they were trying to use with their fist. I'll just say it like that. Whatever format they was using with their fist.
I'll be honest, Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose is a good worker, but like I said, he could use my class I teach on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 and give me 30 minutes with the guy and teach him how to throw a better punch and he'll look tougher. Because with his gimmick, you need to look tougher. You know, because you're a guy that's out there getting beat up, so when it's time for your comeback, you need to look like you need to fight. You know, so, and Shane, bro, everybody's down on Shane, but let me tell you something. His punches look terrible. He's a weird character, but let's not forget that given the opportunity, especially in the type of match he's got Hell in a Cell, don't forget that him and Kurt Angle, like King of the Ring, that was one of the best matches of the year. It was just an entertaining stunt spectacle. Bro, go back and watch that match.
They damn near killed each other.
You're going to get your money's worth with Shane. You may not like the idea of like, well, it's not believable, but as it's being, when that match starts and the bell rings to the time that it's done, you're going to get what the typical wrestling fan wants these days. You're going to get the this is awesome chance. You're going to get some crazy bumps. You're going to get stuff that looks like they Shane got killed. It's just going to, like, they're going to give the fans their money's worth on that. So I'm looking forward to it because Shane's older now. He's not, like, young. He's got the gray hair. So I'm interested to see how high he's going to raise the bar with his performance.
Well, but, you know, I did grow up watching you on TV and Shane, so I already know what you're talking about. I just wanted to present that because you was talking about punches and teaching the new guys the class of, you know, selling and all the punches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, getting on to the question of what's going on now, my first comment is I'm thinking that maybe Linda, everybody's thinking Linda's going to play a part in this thing with this match. I'm feeling that since they've been going to the well on stuff they've done before, I'm thinking maybe Linda McMahon might throw in a towel for Shane or something because he's been pounded. So I'm just thinking maybe about 10 guys going to come out like they did on the Royal Rumble and kill Undertaker or something. I'm just thinking what retro, since this is a retro panel, what from the
not really.
They're going to use.
Here's the title. And I don't like ruining it for people, but this is all wrestling is today. Spoilers and internet. It's hard to even plan to watch shows because there's so many spoilers and creative plans posted on the internet and stuff. Everything, but like this is my prediction. Kurt Angle's done with TNA, right? Is his deal up before WrestleMania starts? Bro, Kurt Angle's going to do something in that match. That's my prediction. I mean, like, if he's done with TNA and WrestleMania's right there, I could, you know, I think that's a pop. That's a good surprise spot. That's, you know, I mean, that's my prediction.
Well, Kurt Angle's in town that weekend, but everybody's in town that weekend. So, but yeah, that's something.
Yeah,
that,
I would
that's
think Kurt Angle has something to do with it, you know. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. My last thing is UFC had a couple of real nice upsets. They've been trying to plan to, you know, their matches going into 200. You know, Ronda Rousey when she lost, and then Holly Holmes lost, right? So now they got more opportunities because now they got a three-way of making a match for 200 or whatever they're trying to go to with these three girls because, you know, now you got a variety of women that could, you know, headline as a co-main event or something like that. My question is, do you think that we're going to get something with Roadblock, possibly maybe some shocker that, you know, finally we'll get something that's, you know, exciting, that's, you know, it's not predictable, you know, something from Roadblock in the sense of what happened with UFC?
No. Because, here's why. Because in the past 3 or 4 years, had they given any inkling or any type of any clue that they would do something like that? I mean, bro, they've been their show's been by the book. It's like if you're 15 years old and you've watched wrestling for 2 years, you could write their show. It's just very simplistic. It's this guy wrestles this guy. There's no twists and turns. There's no angles. There's really no character. There's no characters. They're all just wrestlers. None of them have any really, you know, Dean Ambrose is supposed to be like crazy and stuff. But like other than that, these guys are all just guys fighting for chances to fight for the title. And there's, you know, so if you think they're going to like rewrite the WrestleMania main event plans to a couple weeks out, no, it's going to be the typical Dean Ambrose fought. You know, it's like when they were pushing Cesaro. You know, Cesaro never won. But he would lose in 20 minutes, and they would try to sell it like, well, he gave it his all. Like, he almost beat the guy, you know? So it's like, that to me, that's what they're going to do in this match with Ambrose.
More disappointment.
Thing. Just more
disappointment.
More of the same stuff that they've been doing, you know?
Or they could do, I mean, the best case scenario, Boris, for what you're thinking, is they could do something like they did with Mick Foley back in the day. They can have Ambrose win it on a Saturday night and then turn around and lose it on a Monday night. That's about all you're going to get because there's no way that, I mean, this is the biggest, you know, this is going to have the biggest attendance figure of all time. There's no way Triple H is not going to be in the main event of WrestleMania. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And there's no way they take Roman Reigns out because they've got Roman Reigns figured to be their big star for the next couple of years. So,
right.
Wow.
Yeah, and plus, what you just said, Pat, you may be right. Is they, you know, they beat him on Sunday to draw the number on Monday because the ratings are. You know, bro, they're doing like 2.5s and 2.6s going into WrestleMania. I've never seen the numbers that low. You know, and that's like, bro, nobody. Like, there's so little people watching right now. It's like, wow. I'm like, you know, it's like me. It's like, you know, I try to watch, but it's like, this is not must see TV. You know, you can just read the show and get the same thing out of it because, like, nothing, you know, you don't really get the feeling that you really missed anything, you know. So, I don't know, man. It's just. They're stuck, and I'd like to see what they get out of it. So,
okay, it'll be interesting to watch. Plus, if they move Ambrose into the main event, you know, who's going to fight Brock Lesnar? I mean, because remember, at one time they had actually set that up, you know, to make it. I mean, they actually set it up and had people interested in it.
But you can't rewrite all that. I mean, think about all the marketing you have to change. I mean, the machine's already going. You know, so I don't know.
Well, they did make the Y2 AJ shirt, and it only lasted, what, one match?
Yeah, that's no big deal. That's just a T-shirt.
That was a swerve. Limited edition T-shirt.
I mean, ProWrestlingTees.com prints out T-shirts like it's nothing. That's no big deal, you know?
I guess I'm trying to be optimistic or something, maybe?
I'll be optimistic. I thought when you wanted to be optimistic, Boris, you went and watched New Japan or something. I didn't know that this is how you wanted to be optimistic.
I had to, you know, you know, I what I do is, you know, I watch the Raw so I can, you know, participate with you guys. But I really enjoyed New Japan. And just to see how they elevated Kenny Omega when they, you know, got – when not, you know, all the guys that's coming to WWE, they automatically gave, you know, Kenny Omega the next spot up. And, I mean, it's just – the way they transitioned people into the next spot, you know, it was just beautiful. You just – you turn it on.
Yeah.
You crack your beer. You enjoy it, you know. And, you know, it's just – I wish it was over here more so we could talk – you know, we could talk more about this. You know, because I go to work and, you know, they talk about UFC and basketball, but nobody talks about wrestling anymore, like back in the day.
Yeah, they don't. That's the truth. Yeah. All right, Boris.
Thanks,
well,
guys.
On that happy note, we will talk to you next week. Boris is an optimist here. Okay.
Yes.
There we go. Boris drops off, and that opens up a line for you. 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com. We've got to sell a bunch of stuff, and we'll come back. There's people waiting on hold, and there's a lot of emails for Disco. More with the Disco Inferno. After this, time out, and after I find what I'm looking for here, stupid thing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Disco. I there we go. Okay.
Oh, and now for a word from someone. I forget. I think they sell paint.
As a listener of the PW Torch Livecast, it's obvious you're a pro wrestling fan who likes pro wrestling podcasts. Now there's a new website for you. Hi, I'm PW Torch Managing Editor Wade Keller, and I'm excited to announce that we have launched a new website called PWPodcasts.com. This website reports on pro wrestling podcasts by Steve Austin, Taz, Jim Ross, Colt Cabana, the crew at Grantland with Chief Pete, and so many more. You get full, comprehensive reports of what was talked about with timestamps so that you can jump to the subjects that interest you most, even when your time is limited, or details on what was said if you just don't have time to listen to that podcast this week, and guides on which podcasts really stand out as must-listen and which ones maybe you can afford to skip this week if your time is limited. Individual, comprehensive, long reports on all of the top pro wrestling podcasts out there, updated every day at pwpodcasts.com. Check it out. That's pwpodcasts.com.
And as Wade would be sure to point out, the most important part is they recap the Wednesday live cast every week. And really, that's what counts, I think. Let me go ahead and find the stuff I need to, because we have a lot to plug. We have sponsors. James will be editing this out for the VIP members who go back and listen later. audibletrial.com/prowrestlingtorch. That's where you go to sign up for a free trial of Audible. Audible is your home for all the audiobooks, over 180,000 of them. It's $14.95 a month, and pick out one book a month, any book you want, listen to whatever you want. Exchange any book you don't like, no questions asked, and cancel at any time. It's audible.com, because you shouldn't have to learn the alphabet to be able to read. Wade Keller wants you to visit pwtorch.com/Amazon and give the Torch the money for all of your Amazon purchases. Let's see, there's something else I got to sell. Hold on a moment. There we go.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Yes, pwtorch.com/govip. We'll see what deal Wade Keller has this month. I don't know if the 216 month is still going on, but either way, pwtorch.com/govip. It's $10 a month, $99 a year. You get all sorts of things. You get at least 15 VIP exclusive audio shows per month. That's right, at least 15 of them. Plus, you get the Torch newsletter online in slick PDF files. You get the after show that James Caldwell and I will be doing after this program later tonight. You get Jim Valley's Saturday Morning Wrestling.
Yeah, so it's Friday called Private Preview Event.
Okay, well, Disco's busy, otherwise he'd be commenting on it. And of course you get the Way Back Playback that Jim Valley and I host every Sunday. And we're going to be starting a WrestleMania on Sunday. We are going to give you 4 weeks of recapping WrestleMania 17, and I know you're very excited about that. So pwtorch.com/govip. We also are very socially interactive here on pwtorch.com, so let's go to this week's livecast poll, where we asked which matchup you are most looking forward to this Saturday. Let's see what it is. What we our official poll, which match are you most looking forward to on Saturday? We have the votes up. You can vote now at pwtorch.com or at our VIP site. And right now, let's see where we are here. Okay. Ahead with 50% of the vote, Triple H versus Dean Ambrose. 33% want to see the Revival against Enzo and Big Cass. 17% want to see Brock Lesnar versus Bray Wyatt. No votes for Duke versus North Carolina. Bruce Mitchell will be very disappointed in you. Anyway, go on there now and cast your vote in the poll. Also, LootCrate.com. Yeah, this is very important. We get money for this. LootCrate.com, less than $20 a month. You'll get your official geek and gamer gear items and pop culture memorabilia. This month's theme is Versus, has exclusive loot from Daredevil, Batman vs. Superman, Star Trek, and Alien vs. Predator. You get a T-shirt in there, in the box, guaranteed. And you can also get boxes from previous months where you don't have to guess at what's in it. Last month, the Dead Box at LootCrate.com, you got your Deadpool T-shirt, your plastic Deadpool X-Force figurine, or fig, I guess they call it, your Walking Dead soap on a rope, and a Walking Dead mini action figure. That's great stuff. Go to LootCrate.com. All sorts of crap on there. Enter the code PWTORCH. Save $3 on any new subscription. Get gear for your pets. Get exclusive boxes of crap. It's all the stuff that you like. It's LootCrate.com. And we're back with the Disco Inferno here on a Wednesday. Don't forget that coming up tomorrow, Wade Keller will be bringing you an interview. I don't know who he's interviewing. I should really go and look that up before I start the show. Next week on the show, sadly, Disco will not be here, but we do have a guest. For the first time ever on the Wednesday live cast, our good friend Tommy Dreamer will be coming by, and I'm sure Tommy will have a lot to talk about. Let me see here. I'm trying to see who Wade's. There we go. Trying to see who Wade's guest is for tomorrow. Although he tends to surprise us, and he comes up with some. He comes up with some amazing guests. In fact, go check the archives. Jim Ross, Ethan Carter III, Mick Foley. Lots of stuff here. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Brian Fritz is going to be the guest tomorrow. Brian Fritz, pro wrestling reporter for the Sporting News, among other things. So, and Brian's been on this show before. Check that out. Okay, let's get back to taking calls and emails for our man, the Disco Inferno, 646-721-9828. Holy crap, I'm sorry, I'm just looking at these lines here. I don't know how we're going to get to all of these. Here we go. Is this a VIP member? Yeah, there's a guy. I got an email from a guy saying he's a VIP member looking to call in, except that the phone number he gives isn't one that's on hold. So I don't know. I'm not going to worry about it. Let's go to the 862 area code and kick things off. 862, please state your name and town. You're on the live cast with the Discord Firm.
Kylan from North New Jersey.
How's it going, Kylan?
Going well, Pat.
Good. What questions do you have for our guest, the Disco Inferno?
Okay, my first question for you, Glenn. If you were going to be one of the potential new investors in TNA, what would some of your requirements be?
Put more money into the visual product, make it look like not so what do I want to call it? Not so amateurish compared to the WWE. I mean, you gotta make the show look like a like the old Universal Studio wasn't bad, but right now it looks like you know what it looks like. I mean, they need money in production. The work is
well.
Fine.
They're supposed to be
fine.
Taping. They're supposed to be back taping at Universal starting next Wednesday, Disco, or next Tuesday actually.
What does the set look like at Universal? Is it sort of like the old one, or is it the same thing? Or
I don't even know if they've got the same studio. I mean, they haven't been there in a while.
The content is fine. It's just the production quality. Just needs, just the set needs to look more more up to par. That's my answer.
Okay, go on, Colin.
Okay, second question. Did the WWE make the decision to open their new Hall of Fame and potential restaurant complex in, or rather on, the Universal Studios property next year to further place the nail in TNA's coffin, potentially.
I don't think they could care less about, they couldn't care less about TNA. TNA is not competition, so they're only doing 200,000 viewers. So I don't even, I don't see why, you know, to me that's just an insignificant number to their product. You know, they're doing, they're still doing 3 million something people, right, watching the show each week?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about less than 10% of their audience is watching TNA, I don't think that's insignificant. I just think Universal, if you've ever been to Universal Studios, it's just a very, you know, it's a high traffic area for tourism and stuff. It's a place you would put your Hall of Fame if you want people to see it. A lot of people see it. That's where you would put it. You know, like either Universal Studios or Disney somewhere, or so, you know, that's a perfect location. I don't think it's got nothing to do with TNA.
I didn't think so either, but I just threw it out there. And my final question, who would you like to be the next well-known wrestler to be signed to NXT?
Who should be the next guy?
Yeah.
There's a kid named Kevin Cross here that works in Vegas that I help train, but I wouldn't put him on NXT. I'd put him on the main roster when he's ready. I wouldn't send him to NXT. If you go to NXT, you're learning. This kid needs to learn how to work top guy style, not NXT style. The NXT style is just an extension of the Ring of Honor indie type work. Basically, it took both those guys anyway. It's just it's high flying. I mean, this kid is the type of kid that can go on there and he's a guy that can wrestle Brock someday. He's great talker. I mean, his work's getting better, but it's not like top guy level there yet. But he's getting there, and I'm just trusting you're going to hear about this kid. But I wouldn't send anybody to NXT. I apologize, if you guys are fans of that, but I watched that show and I've watched some of it, and just the guys that know how to work, there are some good guys in the show, but there's so many green guys that are working on that show that everybody just gives a pass to, and I'm like, wow, they're green, you know? It's like, I'm like, bro, these are like, there's like amateur guys, and I'm like, they got their fan base and stuff and things, but I'm not a fan of that. I'm a fan of big show, big arena, big feud, big talkers. You know, I'm a big show guy. I don't like the way the indie style work has, it's kind of like made its way into wrestling, and that's kind of like the way people work right now. And I'm just not a big fan of it. You know, I never really will be. But that's just my opinion. You guys, other people can like it. I don't. That's just me. I'm not discrediting anybody for liking NXT, but it's just absolutely not my cup of tea at all.
Okay.
Understandable. Thanks, Pat. Thanks, Glenn. It was a pleasure.
Okay. Thank you, Kylan. Kylan drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828, pwtorchlivecast@gmail.com. We have another VIP member on hold. It is going to be from the 561 area code. Wayne, you are on the live cast of this month. And what's your hometown, Wayne? I didn't even ask.
I'm down in Spring Hill, Florida, guys, right near Tampa.
Okay, Wayne from Florida. Go for it.
Hey, Disco, first off, man, I just want to say it's great to be able to talk to you. I loved your character back in WCW. It was, for me, it was one of the highlights to see, especially, in your early run there. Just that character overall was just it made me smile every time I saw it, man. So just it's great to be able to talk to you.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Cool. So just talking about characters real quick, because I feel like that, the Disco Inferno, it really did kind of fulfill a real particular need, you know, in wrestling. Do you have a favorite, and I'll just call it character wrestler, you know, somebody who really kind of fills the role to put a smile on the face of the fans? Or do you have somebody right now in any promotion that's probably your favorite guy to watch that you just, you love stopping and watching him whenever he's on the screen?
Boy, oh boy, I'll be honest with you, bro. No, I mean, and I'll go off on a rant here, okay? That's your answer your question. Is that this is a forgotten skill that basically makes a professional wrestler. And when I grew up, okay, when I was developing a character or trying to come up with a character, okay, I knew that the way you get over and the way you become memorable in this sport and the way you create longevity is you need to do something in that ring with your character, whether it's the way you talk, whether your body mannerisms, anything that you do, you have to have things that people can imitate. That when two 12-year-old kids are going in the backyard and fake wrestling each other, one guy says, "I'm the Disco Inferno," and the other guy says, "I'm Daniel Bryan," the Disco Inferno character can do my dance, and the Daniel Bryan character can stick his fingers up in there and do the yes, yes, yes chant. These days, everybody is just a wrestler. They don't even have a character. They don't do anything they do. Like, if I said I'm Neville, if two 12-year-old kids said I'm Neville, and one says I'm Kevin Owens, besides doing their spots and the high flying, what could they do that would identify you that, like, okay, this is what Kevin Owens does in there. This is what Neville does in there. They don't do anything. They just wrestle. And they do spots. And there's so many. And that's basically guys these days, you know, that are wrestling. They've forgotten that, you know, the character, you know, growing up with Macho Man with the Ooh Yeah, with Roddy Piper, the way he talked, with the Honky Tonk Man doing his thing. You know, I grew up watching characters. These days, there are no characters. There's nothing you can imitate. There's nothing you can duplicate. You know, Daniel Bryan was a good worker, but let's be honest, the reason he was super over, he's one of the only guys in the show that had a gimmick. You know, the Yes Chant was over because it's like one of the only things on the show, literally one of the only things, when there was crowd during the match. You know, you look in the crowd, the people are doing the, you know, they're imitating. So these days, you know, I just try to tell, you know, people, like kids breaking the business, bro, you got to do something that people can imitate if you want to really get over. Because basically, if you're just a worker or just a wrestler and all you're doing is moves, you got to be really, 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 really good for people to remember you. Because other than that, you're just getting lost in the shuffle.
I got to be honest. I got to tell you that in the pro wrestling simulator that I used to play back when I was in college, it was just a text-based simulator. It was Disco Inferno and the Honky Tonk Man. They were my dream tag team. And you guys were the champions for a long, long time.
Because it's an imitatable gimmick. You know, I don't have to do it. But that's the thing. When I wrestled WCW with the greatest, you can say whatever you want, but, bro, our talent roster back then, if you look at these guys, you know,
very
back
deep
in history, it's by far the best collection of talent ever in the history of the business, okay? Your mid-card was filled with future world champions. You know, Jericho, Benoit, Eddie. I mean, it was ridiculous. And so, you know, I wasn't a worker like those guys. I couldn't go out there and wrestle like them and have that, you know, their type of technical skill and stuff. But what I could do is I had a gimmick and I could sell and I could bump. So what I got that was just that was on par with everybody else is when I went out there, I got a crowd reaction. Okay, and like, you know, basically that's the thing is like you need to go out there and like your mindset is that my mindset wasn't like I'm going to have the best match because I wasn't going to have the best match because Eddie was wrestling Dean Malenko on the undercard and Benoit was wrestling Jericho on the undercard. You know,
right.
I was going to go out there and get a good pop. My crowd reaction to the Disco Sucks chant was going to be loud because I knew I had good timing and knew what to do out there. So if I went out there and my crowd participation was as good as everybody else's, I did my job. And that's why I got longevity in this in the business, and that's why I was on TV for 7 straight years wrestling a lot, is because when I was out there, I didn't wrestle in front of a dead crowd. You know, I would do things, you know, beyond the moves and stuff to get the people to react, and that's what you need to do, and that's what professional wrestling is. It shouldn't be as difficult as it is these days to get a pop. It should be a lot easier. You know, you need to just do things that, you know, that don't hurt to get a reaction. So that's the way I've always looked at it.
Last question, just really kind of looking at, you know, WrestleMania and the way that it's kind of shaping up with the matches that have been announced. And, you know, I miss the days of the, like the event center and like that kind of stuff where they would just kind of begin to start like announcing, you know, matches going on. And as far as like the undercard goes, a lot of the mid-card and preliminary wrestlers, it seems like their only place right now is something like the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. Is that enough? Are there other kind of smaller preliminary bouts that you'd like to see up on the card at some point, if there's even room for it now?
Well, I don't know, because I don't know if these kids are even capable of advancing their characters. They don't even know what their characters are. So it's like it's hard to even do an angle when you don't even know anything about the guys other than the fact that they just wrestle. You know, right. I mean, what do you know about Neville?
Like, nothing. He's the man gravity forgot. That's all they keep saying.
That's it. There's no real promos backstage where he can talk about conflicts with other guys. It's, you know, no, it doesn't take that long to build characters. I watched a show the other night. No. They went through the first like 65 minutes of the show, with the exception of like interviewing. I don't think they did a backstage interview segment for, like one and a half minute where you get a guy to talk and he can explain something. I don't think they did that the first hour of the show. And I'm like, you know, no wonder nobody's over, because nobody is out there talking about anything or talking about how they feel about anything. They're just like, it isn't that. You know, so it's like, I mean, and you're right. When you do that and you have no characters, you have no conflict, you have no personal characteristics about the guys that anybody cares about, you just stick them in a battle, like a battle royal, or stick them in four ways and three-way dances and stuff and things with, you know, where everybody's just wrestling for a belt or a, you know, and I don't know. You can see it. That's what it should. People sit there and say, there's been such a mindset over the years that, you know, that sports entertainment was a bad thing. You know, oh, crash TV. Well, it wasn't crash TV. It's like, if you really go back to sports entertainment, like, we kind of like soil the name of it because like everybody thinks that Russo was like the worst thing ever to hit professional wrestling. But if you watch the shows, there was a lot of stuff on there. There was a lot of backstage interviews. There was a lot of conflict. There was a lot of personal characteristics. There was a lot of character development. There was a lot of vignettes. There was a lot of stuff. You know, these days, it's matches, in-ring interviews, two divas having a phony conversation backstage when they're having real conversations on the Diva show, and they're phony, you know, when on this show, the conversations are phony. And, you know, you got guys, Jericho's mad because, like, you know, the fans are chanting AJ Styles. And he's like the only guy that's got kind of like anything going right now, because like he's like the grumpy old veteran that doesn't like the young guy, you know. So that's like an issue. But everybody should have issues like that on the show, you know. Like everybody should have conflict and things are upset about and everything. And basically the only angle is like the one guy. Jericho's in an angle. Everybody else, I don't even think Roman Reigns and Triple H are in an angle. I just know they're fighting for the belt. You know, like, I mean, are they really, are they in an angle? You know,
right.
Like Roman's getting booed out of the building. You know, Triple H is getting cheered. I mean, that should be the angle. You know,
right.
Roman Reigns should be out there, one of the people will come out every week. Why are you guys booing me? You know, like, I mean, like, don't boo me, don't vote, but that's
they'll never
real.
Get, yeah.
You know, yeah, but they'll never do that. So it's like, you know, I mean, that's. Yeah, just like you said, so we're going to be stuck with a bunch of battle royals, four ways, three ways, six, 10-man tags and stuff. And that's all it is, you know.
I'll be at WrestleMania. I'll be heading to Dallas with my family, and you know, really looking forward to it. And I'll tell you that the match that in my mind is the main event for me, it's the one that I'm actually really interested in seeing. Even though it's a triple threat, it's the Divas title match, because that's the one I care about the most. Because they've done at least a better job of fleshing out Becky and starting to do that with Sasha and Charlotte. I care about that match, and I really care about the outcome. I wish it was a one-on-one with either Sasha or Becky against Charlotte. But honestly, in my mind, you know, that's the main event, because that's the one that I care about the most. And you know, I'm looking forward to seeing it. But hey, guys, thanks so much. I really appreciate, you know, the time, and I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of the show.
Cool.
Okay. Well, thank you, Wayne. All right, Wayne drops off, and that opens up a line for you at 646-721-9828. PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com is the email way. Speaking of PWTorchLivecast@gmail.com,
obviously, I know we can't be on forever, but Disco, we're going to try to cram about 5 million questions in the next 5 minutes or so, okay?
Sounds good. I'll answer some questions.
All right, let's start with the chat room. Mr. Chase says, Pat, ask Disco if he thinks Hulk Hogan will win the lawsuit against Gawker.
He's got a really good case. I hope he does, bro, because he's gone through a lot of pain and suffering over that scumbag website. So I hope he wins.
I can see him winning. I'm just not sure he's going to get he probably should win. He's just not going to get $100 million. Well, I mean, that's a guess, okay?
Hey,
I think he can win. Yeah. Okay, let's see. Why does Wade's $2.16 deal end just before WrestleMania weekend? Gee, I can't imagine why. wearing a flak jacket isn't a gimmick. Iconic One says, who knew that wearing a flak jacket isn't a gimmick? Well, there you go. That's beautiful. All right, let's get back to the Disco questions. Tom, so what are your thoughts on Global Force's announcement regarding their new partnership with the Reality Production Company?
I love it. I think it's just some more entertainment. They got some pretty entertaining guys there. So if they're doing a reality show behind this, I think it'd be entertaining TV.
Okay. Let's go to a question from Matt. Matt asks, Disco, what is your beer of choice?
These days, let me see. Sapporo, because I usually just drink beer when I go eat Japanese all-you-can-eat sushi. So Sapporo or Kirin Light.
Okay. And let's see, what do you make of the Mark Madden-Michelle Beadle feud? That was weeks ago.
I talked to Madden a lot. I was not very impressed with it at all. I thought it was completely insignificant.
Okay. Let's see. How many hours of sleep do you average a night? I'm guessing that's for you.
Five.
What was that?
Five.
Fives, okay. Let's see. This is a question for me and Jim Valley, who's not here, but Disco, fine. How awesome would it be for WWE to do old school wrestling and have Shane gain control of Raw and put Paul Heyman? Yeah, they did a brand split before. Is it a fanboy's dream or a terrible idea? It's not a terrible idea, but that's not how they think. They didn't want a brand split where people were legitimately competing with each other, because it's the same people writing both shows. So
right.
They don't want to be.
Yeah. I thought the brand split was the beginning of the down period, because I just thought it was ridiculous. You're having a brand split, but everybody knows it's the WWE. It's all one company. I thought it was the dumbest kayfabe, trying to like kayfabe the people. It's actually like two different things, where everybody knows you're getting paid by the same guy. It's like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, plus they never actually acted. I mean, people had just seen a feud between WWF and WCW, and Raw and SmackDown weren't acting like the way companies were actually feuding with each other act, and that was pretty obvious.
Right.
Okay. Let's see. James writes, I was watching Starrcade 99 on the network. The Mamelukes put you in a body bag. How terrified were you, and were you able to breathe?
Scared to death. That's a great story. I was petrified because they zipped the thing up all the way. And I was like, I started panicking, because like I was thinking I was going to suffocate, because I don't know how long. And if you see me, I'm really fighting in there and everything. Telling the guy, and I wasn't hyperventilating, but I was panicking. Okay. Because I've never been suffocated before. So I don't know how long under an enclosed thing like that you could last without suffocating. I knew they were going to be dragging me for a pretty long way. So yes, I was petrified when I got zipped up in that.
Okay, for those of you listening live, we're going to answer questions as long as we can keep Disco here, so get the download if you want to hear your question answered. All right, Ted asks, how did you like the finished product of your Kayfabe Commentaries DVD?
I thought it was I was entertained doing it. I thought the finished product was fine. I enjoyed it.
Okay, what are the chances of Vegas getting the Oakland Raiders?
Maybe in the – I don't know. I have no idea.
Kevin Nash announced he was going to donate his brain to Chris Nowinski's Sports Legacy Group. Have you considered donating yours?
Yeah, I would, because I've only had one concussion. I'd like to see what my brain's wrong, because I've only blacked out one time. or got hit hard or got flat. You know, what would be considered a concussion these days? I can only recall having one, and I know, and it was a mild. Yeah. I didn't even think it was a concussion when it happened, except that I got hit in the head. There was a black flash that lasted a millisecond at the point of impact. I had a bump on my head. I didn't have any symptoms. I just, you know, it didn't really hurt. It just hurt at the point of impact, like if a guy punched you in the forehead hard. I put ice on my forehead. I didn't have any symptoms. Felt fine. I got home, and I couldn't remember the security code to get my house.
Yeah, look, that's a concussion. Yeah,
it was a concussion. Okay. I didn't really feel like, you know, I didn't have headaches or nothing. But yeah, that's a concussion.
Yeah, that's the problem. The people who have the concussions are usually the worst ones at figuring out, well, you know, what happened because you had a concussion.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This is from Bruce. 50 Cent came out with a song back in the day entitled "Disco Inferno." Was he paying homage to you?
No. If you listen to the words, there's nothing to do with me.
Have you heard anything about Shane Douglas's promotion out of Las Vegas?
It was supposed to. All I know it's supposed to start about 9 months ago.
All right. Let's see. Do you own any NWO Wolfpack T-shirts?
Yes, I got one.
Okay, let's see. Ricky asks, what happened to Robbie Rage and Kenny Chaos of High Voltage?
Their attitude determined their altitude.
What do you think of Ryback's character development, and have you ever run into him in Vegas?
I haven't run into him in Vegas, but his character development, it's getting better. I don't know. I'd love to sit with that kid for about 20 minutes and give him some tips. I think he could use.
Okay. Let's see, Gary. Gary asks, will you be at Wally Mania this year?
No, I'm not booked for WrestleMania.
No, he said Wally Mania, but yeah.
I'm not doing any appearances WrestleMania weekend, so.
All right. Okay. Did you ever hook up with a Nitro girl?
No, I never did.
Okay. Yeah, he'd have mentioned it if he had.
Some of the other guys did, though, I heard.
All right. Philip, how did you do in fantasy football this past season?
I won in the second last week of the season on FanDuel. I got 11th place out of 46,000 people, won $7,500, and I came in third in my league.
That's good. All right. Where do RG3 and Kaepernick land?
First, it looks like RG3 might end up in Denver. I'm hearing today.
Well, yeah, they suddenly need a quarterback.
Yeah,
go figure.
Super Bowl champ. Isn't that unbelievable how a team wins a Super Bowl? And
yeah.
What a shocker that you're paying all these guys, you win a Super Bowl, and now you can't afford them for another year.
I think they kind of took him for granted. But, I don't know about Kaepernick's a tough one, though. I guess Dallas is a possibility.
I would think. I don't know. We'll see. I would think that Denver might as well just go and get Brian Hoyer since Denver got Osweiler because, he can't be worse than Peyton Manning was last year.
Jeez. All right. Let's see here. Andrew asks, has any independent promoter tried to make a disco battle between you and Brodus Clay?
No, not yet.
Not yet. Okay. Let's see. Mark has Mark from Wisconsin says, Rob was at a different arena than the Bucks and the Bulls were on Monday. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they were at the old Rosemont Horizon out in Rosemont, and the Bulls play downtown. Sylvester says, Disco, I assume you got your SAG card during Ready to Rumble. Do you still pay your SAG dues? And how much did you make on that shoot?
I still make money on that. I still get royalties every 3 months. Sometimes they're in cents, and other times it'll be like $300-$400. But you have to stay current. You have to do something within a year to maintain your SAG card. So I haven't had SAG forever.
Okay. Wikipedia lists 1967 as your birth year. I could have sworn it was 68. That's Sylvester again.
No, I didn't say Wikipedia. 67 is my birthday. Wikipedia had it erroneously had it at 68 for a while.
Okay, let's see. Mark, Disco, I like what you said about WWE fans and how many. Yeah, okay. One thing that bothers me is how the Smarks treat certain guys in comparison to others. They mercilessly boo Roman Reigns but cheer for fads such as Axelmania and Fandango. Sometimes the fans bother me worse than the actual show. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, 100%. I've been on this rant before, bro. Your typical live wrestling audience these days is about 5,000 internet trolls, and the other half is kids that are dragging their parents to see the show. The internet trolls are ruining the experience for the kids that are going to the show with their parents, and they basically just hijack the show. You know, it's like, I mean, you could honestly say that half the fans in the arena, the WWE would rather not just have them show up because of what they do to the product. You know, so, and it's just, oh, it's just trolling. It's trolling to the point it becomes like you practice it, they do it enough, and it becomes like the custom. You know, like, so it's like, you know, I don't really understand why. I mean, we're talking Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, which is known for booing Santa Claus on Christmas. You know, those fans booed Roman Reigns when he won the Royal Rumble. No, and the guy never really did anything wrong. You know, I feel kind of bad for the guy, the way he's been treated by the internet community, because he's just basically done everything they told him to do. You know, and he's up there. I don't think he's doing it poorly. I just think, you know, and I don't think he deserves, you know, the treatment that he's getting. So, you know, I mean, the fans have a lot to blame, have a lot of blame to take with the product these days, I think. And I don't think they ever will, because they think, like, oh, we're the fans, we're paying. It's like, yeah, you're paying, but, like, you know, if I was having a party at my house and half the people acted like the fans at the WWE show acted, it wouldn't be a very fun party. You know, I'd probably have to kick them all out. You know, so, I mean, that's the way I feel like the fans are at the WWE shows.
Well, how much is the cover charge at your party?
Well, I don't know. Well, our club is, like, expensive. It's $45, except if you call the limo to pick you up, you get them free. So.
Yeah, that's still cheaper than ringside WWE, so, okay.
Yeah, right.
Fair enough. All right. Boris had a question for me, which I'll answer on the after show. Greg says, overall, I think Triple H has done a bad job of being a heel and getting heat opposite of Roman Reigns. James Caldwell and Wade Keller have the theory that Triple H is being selfish and that he enjoys being over at Roman's expense. What are your thoughts?
The problem with them is they've completely lost touch with what gets over, how the crowd is going to react.
Yeah.
I think he's booking himself as a heel, thinking he's going to get a heel reaction, but not realizing, like, bro, your smarts are going to hijack it. They're just going to cheer you. They're going to cheer you no matter what you do against Roman Reigns. You know, so you might as well just embrace it. Embrace it and just go with it and be a babyface somehow, and, like, you know, or just, you know, you can still fight it, but you're just going to keep getting the same reaction.
Yeah, that's...
But when you have Triple H
outsmarting Roman Reigns, you know, it's kind of hard to...
But honestly, watch their show for the past 3 years. The ratings aren't good. The crowd reactions are not what they want, everything. So they're right. They're booking this. They're writing it. They're going to TV, and they're putting that on TV. They think...
Yeah.
That they're doing something right. And it's like, wow, it's like, at what point is somebody going to say, just raise their hand and say, you know what? You know, when they're writing the show, or when they're reading the show and in the, when they're reading in the production meeting, you know, whenever you go to a production meeting to read the show, right? If anybody raised their hands, like, you know, nobody ever raised their hand, you know what? This show sucks. You know, nobody's saying that, but, like, you know, that it's like, if you read, like,
you're
Jason
fired.
Powell, yeah, well, I'm just saying, if you just sit there and say, like, you know, what, like, if you read what's going on, if you read the show and you sit there and say, like, you know, what is going to make more people watch this show than they did last week? And if the answer is basically nothing, you're really not writing that good of a show, you know? So I think they think they're writing a good show, but it does not come across like that on TV, but every single week it's the same deal. That's the problem.
All right, one more question, and it's for me because Johnny Fairplay wanted to make sure you got some gambling questions out. Who do you like for the presidential election? They're taking bets out there.
Hillary for sure. Just okay. She's a small favorite over Trump. And then, like, not like last year where Romney was like a 280 underdog. She's only like a 140 favorite over Trump right now. But
yeah,
this one should be closer. Yeah, she's like a lock. She's like a 1-16 favorite to win the Democratic nod. So it's just a lock. It's gonna be Trump and Hillary for sure, barring some miracle.
Yeah.
But that's it. You know, I would just bet, you know, she's a slight favorite. She'll probably win.
Okay,
Well, Disco, thank you very much. Listen, we enjoyed having you on him. Yeah, and be sure to watch Disco Inferno. You can watch all of his career highlights pretty much now that they've uploaded Nitro on the WWE Network. And how can people follow you on social media, Disco?
At The Real Disco on Twitter.
Okay. Save your good questions today, people. All right, thanks, Disco. Enjoy your enjoy teaching class. Say hi to the kids.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right, and thank you, the rest of you, for sticking with us here for the hour and change. Wade's By Tomorrow with Brian Fritz. We're going to have Tommy Dreamer with us next Wednesday, VIP After Show. We'll be up later tonight. Just a whole lot happening this weekend with Roadblock and the Road to WrestleMania, and I'll be joining James Caldwell on Monday after Raw from Pittsburgh, and we'll be doing the post-game show. Until then, keep your feet on the ground and keep shooting for the stars. Good night, everybody.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another happy ending from the good people at Jimmy James Incorporated.
But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
You suck it. You can suck it. Suck it.
Suck it. When that happened, we would normally force them in the pool.
Right.
And the look on someone's face when you shove them and they're in the air and they're saying to themselves, no. And they realize that they're completely, totally wet. Watch the whole deal. It is one of the funniest things in the world.
What?
Sit, Ubu, sit. Good dog.